We are in a climate emergency, and if we don't change our behaviours and if brands don't change what they're doing and retailers, then we're screwed.
I have with me my co-founder, partner in crime, bestie, Lucy Hall.
Jade came up with the concept of Lonehood when you were doing your master's at LCF in Fashion Futures, and then came to me with this amazing idea of like a shared wardrobe. We're already doing it in the fashion industry. And I grew up going out on a Saturday with friends to shop at Zara and H&M and all the fast fashion brands and get hauls and stuff. And we just didn't understand how detrimental the fashion industry is to people on the planet.
Yeah, we definitely didn't know what was happening and what we were doing at that time. You left Model Booking to open up a restaurant, and that is where your sustainability... So it wasn't even fashion really where the sustainability journeys happened for you. It was about food.
So when we set out to build the restaurant, we looked for a farm to fork, trying to source as locally as possible when you were based in central London. And yeah, there's that connection between food that we all have. We understand much more how it affects people and planet. And when you think about clothes, it comes from the ground. It's oil-based and it's polyester. Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they want to be sustainable, but they're still shopping at fast fashion brands. There's education missing there for sure. There's marketing, there's social media, all these different things are playing a role in it.
You go into a hotel and you sleep in sheets that somebody else has slept in. It's interesting that we don't see like clothes in the same way. I have with me my co-founder, partner in crime, bestie, Lucy Hall. And whilst I will be asking you some questions, I guess this is going to be more of a chat between two mates and business founders, discussing our journey as sustainability and like our perspective on innovation, which is what this podcast is all about. Obviously, we chat every single day, whether you like it or not. And we talk about sustainability a lot. It's embedded into everything we do. And we get asked a lot of these questions by other people, kind of brands and customers. But we've never really had a chat.
A public
chat in such a long time about this. So I think it'll be really nice. Or it could be a terrible idea. I don't know. Hopefully it'll be therapeutic. But anyway, let's get ahead. Just forget the cameras around. Let's just chat like we normally do on our stand-up meetings. Every morning.
Great. Can't wait.
But, you know, for the sake of the listeners, can you kind of explain a little bit about who you are?
Sure. So, as you mentioned, we are besties. I've known each other for a long time. Lonehood is a circular fashion platform. So what we're trying to do is reshape the way people access and experience fashion. And we're doing that through rental, as well as our swap shop concept, which we kind of sell into brands and communities as a way of people to exchange fashion for free.
So I think let's go back to the very beginning, because it's always nice. People always like to hear the story, don't they, of like how we met.
Yeah.
So obviously I met you, 16 years ago?
Very, very many moons ago.
So you were a booker at Models One.
Yeah, so I was a model agent, just starting out in my career in the fashion industry. I'd been in fashion PR before that.
Yeah.
And then had become, I went to Australia, became a booker there and came back to London and started at Models One. And then you came into my life.
Look at you. I'd just come out of Britain's Next Top Model, so which was scary and fish out of water. I mean, we're both from the same place, aren't we?
We are.
But we never met there.
No.
So you were both from, well, I'm from Middlesbrough, you're from Yarm, which is just down the road.
Yeah.
But never met.
Never met.
Until we were in London.
Until I saw you on the show, on Britain's Next Top Model, and I was like, oh my God, this girl is from Middlesbrough. And then you walked into the agency.
Can you tell? The accent.
The accent. I got it straight away. And then you walked into the agency and we became lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And I guess we both saw that kind of meteoric rise of e-commerce and fast fashion. I mean, you were the face of many fast fashion brands. I was booking you on those jobs. So we were very much complicit in the overconsumption that everyone is experiencing. We were pushing product onto people and we were doing it ourselves. I mean, I grew up going out on a Saturday with friends to shop at Zara and H&M and all the fast fashion brands and get hauls and stuff. And we just didn't understand how detrimental the fashion industry is to people on the planet.
Yeah, we definitely didn't know what was happening and what we were doing at that time. We were just young, in the fashion industry, wanted to make our way in London. We were moving houses, we were living with all the girls, we were going out, we were like, wanted a new outfit.
And I went out actually. It was really, really good.
What? That's an actual lie, just to put it out there. Lucy was the biggest party animal ever.
But fashion was a way for us to express ourselves, for enjoyment, the fun of it. You could really tell different style tribes about how you dress.
Yeah.
And that's something that both you and I don't want to lose. Like, we love clothes, we love fashion, but it got to that point in our careers where we both said, we can't do this anymore. We can't keep encouraging people to consume more and more. And that's when you went back to education and did your master's and now doing your PhD, very smart chick. And I opened a restaurant, and that's where kind of sustainability really embedded itself with me, and how it became, I understood how much of a critical factor it was in our future.
Yeah.
Jade came up with the concept of Lonehood when you were doing your master's at LCF in Fashion Futures, and then came to me with this amazing idea of like a shared wardrobe. We were already doing it in the fashion industry. We're already renting out things to PR and celebrities for shoots. How can we democratize that and bring it to everybody?
Yeah.
It makes total sense. 90% of the emissions happen during the manufacturing stage. So if we can start to reduce production of new and increase utilization, increase the amount of times that we're wearing clothes, then we can really start to make a real impact on those emissions.
I mean, for me, modeling and modeling for a lot of those fast fashion brands as well, was that the quality was so obvious to me because I was wearing them, I was getting pinned in, you could see like I had so many clips down the back of me, and then, you know, the material wasn't great, and I feel like
you don't know any better, do you? Like, when you're younger as well, especially when you're like a student or early in your career, you don't have loads of money, you're wearing all these fast fashion brands, and you don't realize that they're poor quality until you wear something like this dress that I'm wearing today, which is beautifully handmade by Benjamin Fox. How amazing the quality is, and how it fits much better, and the material feels expensive, and you're like, wow, why would I want to wear that fast fashion piece when I could wear something as amazing as this?
Yeah, exactly. But it's about making it accessible and affordable to people, which we'll come to. But you mentioned something you threw in there, just to go back to your like journey, about owning a restaurant, which I always think, just, you know, just threw it in there for good measure. But no, so you left being a model booker because, well, you've always been business-minded. You've always wanted to start your own business, which is why I knew when
I didn't really do an education. I was just a very kind of frivolous person and was like, yeah, let's have fun. And actually now, looking back, I should have done more kind of, I should have been more present in my education. But I'm learning a lot now, so that's all that matters, really.
You're very good in this fact that you can talk to people. Your social skills are great. I think it's knowing where your skills lie. But you've always been, to me, very business-minded. I mean, you managed me, so that's a, you know, tough toll. But you left Model Booking to open up a restaurant, and that is where your sustainability... So it wasn't even fashion, really, where the sustainability journeys happened for you. It was about food.
Yeah.
Can you, like, talk a bit about that?
Yeah, so I had a restaurant in Covent Garden on Drury Lane, and it came out of a love of food and wine, and also that understanding between eating locally and seasonally and organically is better for people and the planet. So when we set out to build the restaurant, we looked for a farm to fork, trying to source as locally as possible when you were based in central London. But I hate waste. I hate seeing things wasted. So we try to make it as zero waste as possible. And yeah, that connection between food that we all have is much more, we understand much more how it affects people and planet. And when you think about clothes, and especially with some of the students that we've worked with across our university partnerships, a lot of the students don't know where clothes come from. And I'm sure that's across the board, to be honest, that it comes from the ground, or it's oil-based and it's polyester. And there's so much education that we don't have around the fashion industry, because it is one of the biggest industries in the world. It crosses multiple sectors. It touches every single person of us. We're all involved in fashion because we all wear clothes. Unfortunately, we can't go out naked. We have to wear clothes.
It'd be an interesting world, yeah.
Yeah, unless you're on a nudist colony. So that connection between food and the planet was really prevalent for me. So that's why I went into the food industry. And I absolutely loved the business side of things, as you know, and running a fast-paced business really honed my skills. Mm-hmm. And I took a lot from that to then take into Lonehood to grow this business.
Yeah, well, when I went back to study and, you know, this idea was forming around the shared wardrobe, and at the time, I think there was only like the US that were doing it, right? Rent the Runway was like kind of starting. This was before the pandemic as well. But I just knew that I was like, there's no way I can get this idea off the ground. Like, I'm an ideas person. I'm not great on the business side, although I've learned
all
a
about
lot.
The execution, baby.
Yeah. And I was like, I know the perfect person that will, you know, excel in this, and I need her, and that was you. And, you know, it was good timing, I think, as well, on both sides.
Perfect timing. But it was a kind of coming from a selfish point of view as well, because you and I both had realized how bad this fashion industry was. So we'd stopped buying new. We were kind of thrifting and looking at resale. But again, it was very early, like Depop had only just started. So we didn't see any other options. And we were like, we really want to wear nice stuff.
Yeah.
But we can't afford some of the sustainable brands because they're really expensive, because clothes do cost a lot to make. And if you're doing it here in the UK and you're sourcing products, plus sourcing fabrics, it's much more expensive than what we're used to.
Yeah.
So we kind of came from it at a selfish point of view, where it was like, but if we rented it at a fraction of the retail cost, we could wear these amazing clothes.
Yeah.
And we could continually experiment with our style. Instead of buying a capsule wardrobe and just wearing that over and over again, we could wear really fun pieces at a fraction of the cost. So,
and that's the thing.
We're like, selfish, basically.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really selfish. It does come from a selfish place. But I think as well, just going into all the only place that I used to go and shop really was like Zara or something. And it was just, every time I went in, it was all the same. I would come out and I would be wearing exactly the same as somebody else. You could guarantee, and you kind of lose that individuality that you really like are striving for. And that's what fashion is all about, really. It's like, well, it's about individuality, but also, you know, keeping up with the trends, and that's something that we need to like consider and lose, obviously.
But so experimenting with your style as a person, like my style has changed so much from when we first met, and yours changes all the time, and it's just how you feel, what you've experienced, and that's doesn't have to be trend led, but you want to change how you dress, whether it's a new boyfriend that you've got or you become a mum.
Yeah.
There's always things in your life where you're going to want to change your style. And we should be able to do that for self-expression and to make us feel happy. And that can be lost if we can only buy a capsule wardrobe and we can only buy sustainable brands, which are very, very small at the moment. So fashion rental has been able to, you know, blow up and expand our options and bring that joy and creativity back into our wardrobes, at least.
I guess it's a supplement to your, like, consumer behaviour. It's not saying that it's going to solve the sustainable problem that fashion faces.
God, no.
It's not. and we know that. We know it's not the savior. It's not the solution. It's one of the solutions.
Yeah.
And we need
another
more of these.
Yeah,
resale,
economy.
Rental, upcycling, repair. All these different things can work together.
Material innovation right at the start.
Exactly. Yeah. So can you just walk me through our business?
Yeah. So taking it right back to the beginning, we started out as hosting clothes swaps.
Pre-pandemic.
We did clothes swaps. We have worked with lots of amazing communities and businesses, from Hackney Council and Islington and Kensington Council, all the way up to the industry titans like Selfridges, hosting their first ever cashless fashion event across all of their stores, Net-a-Porter, Matches, you name it. We've worked with some great people to encourage people to exchange fashion.
We worked it out, didn't we? We swapped over 16,000 items of clothes through our swap shops.
Yeah, which is great.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And from there, we started to build the business and took those insights and started to build a marketplace. And we used technology for that. So we built an app where anybody could come onto the platform and start renting out products that they owned. During that journey and that process, we started to bring on lots of emerging designers, recent graduates from our connections with universities, as well as all these amazing independent brands. We have a client called Wild Swans in Angel. We actually have an event with them where we'll be talking to the customers, getting people to try on.
I thought you were going to say where we'll be drinking.
Drinking and dancing, the DJ. No, but it's a great way for Wild Swans to communicate what they're doing, because rental is a new behavior. And like with anything, when you try something for the first time, you can be really apprehensive, like, oh, what if I spill something on the dress? Or what if it turns up and it doesn't fit? What if it arrives late and I miss my occasion? Like, there's lots of different things that people worry about the rental industry. I was going to say the model industry. That's another beast. About the fashion industry, the fashion rental industry. So we're trying to alleviate lots of those issues. And Wild Swans is a perfect example of that, because they have a physical store. You can go in and try on products whenever you want. You can rent it in advance. You can pick it up in person. Or if you want your time poor, you can go onto their e-commerce site and rent directly from them. So we're trying to find different ways to make it a convenient switch for customers, because our long-term vision is to embed circular fashion into everyday life, whether that's through swapping, renting on your high street. We want to make it as easy and accessible and the go-to thing that you will do as a customer rather than buying new.
I think it goes back really, you know, to when we first started and e-commerce was just booming. And, you know, when the people say, oh, you know, I'm just going to click a button and I'm not going to try it on in store, I'm just going to go online, just get it sent directly to me, everyone was like, no, I can't see that.
Everyone was against it, right?
Yeah, I can't see that, like,
catching on.
Yeah, like, I need to go in, I need to try it on, I need to get the feel. But actually that
but that's caused another problem, because people are wardrobing. They're getting lots of products sent to the house. I mean, my mom does it. She'll order a couple of different sizes in an item of clothing, get it to her house, try them on, and then send them back, which is basically like renting.
I can't believe you just called out your mum on this podcast.
Yes. Sorry, mum. But that's what most people will do. And I've been known to do it myself.
Yeah.
Because there's multiple things that are wrong with this process, but the returns industry is a nightmare, because a lot of time brands don't have the resource to process those and put them back out on the shop floor. So they'll just destroy them.
Yeah.
And then the fit problem that we have in the fashion industry, because we don't have a standardized fit model to work from. So each brand has a different, like...
So you're not sure whether a size 10 you're going to get is going to fit you.
It's or a size 10 and each brand is different. Yeah. So it's really frustrating.
So you get an 8, 10 and 12 and just hope which one fits, and then you send the rest back.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Can't keep doing that.
No, we can't.
So rental, in a way, is, you know, is a really good way of trying before you buy as well, because it makes that consideration a part of the consumer journey a lot more thought out. You know, people can try, if they love it, if they feel like it's going to be something that they're going to wear over and over again, then maybe they'll make that purchase. But if they're not and they've got their fill and they're satisfied, then they can send it back.
100%.
So it really is a good way for these independent brands and designers, for customers, new or old, to discover them and to discover new styles that they might be putting it out.
Yeah.
So
I was just listening to a podcast the other day with John Lewis, was saying that they offer rental.
Yeah.
And 40% of the people that are rented from them are new customers to John Lewis. They are able to access a new customer base, often a younger demographic as well, who are interested in rental. So they're expanding their customer lifetime value by encouraging more people to try rental. So it's a really great way for independent brands to acquire new customers, like almost like a marketing channel for them, as well as get them to try before they buy. Because what we know with independent brands is that you can't necessarily go in and try it on beforehand, or you've never worn that product before. If you're discovering this brand for the first time, you're like, oh, is it going to fit? Am I going to like it? So by being able to rent it, it's a great way to try before you buy.
I mean, personally, obviously, we're advocates of rental and we're all going to...
hyping each other
we're
up.
We're always going to shout about the positive sides of it. And I feel like my style has kind of changed as well, because I think I am a bit bolder in the things that I rent at, like rent, 100%, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I will try it and see if that's like, I'll go down that route, you know, see if that's my style. Sometimes I have rented things and I'm like, come on, Jane, absolutely not. You're like 36 year old. You cannot get away with this. But I think it is like a really like fun way of experimenting for the customer to try those different styles, as well as been accessing a price point that maybe, you know, you can't normally afford.
Yeah, especially in that cost of living crisis that we find ourselves in, and everything is so much more expensive. Like, I would never be able to afford to buy this dress. It wouldn't make sense for me in my budgeting, but being able to rent it makes total sense. I've worn it my third time in a week that I'm wearing it. So I've got my price per wear. It's been amazing. and then I pass it back and someone else can continue to wear it.
Going back to the Wild Swans kind of example, I think what's really nice about Wild Swans is the fact that they're a small business. They've got two stores, one in Islington and one in Chiswick. And now they have this rental rail in store. You know, we would love all these independent boutiques, small businesses that are selling these like really fashionable designers to like have a rental rail in every single store alongside, you know, their normal
that
shopping.
Is a dream.
I mean, that would be a dream. And I feel like, I mean, that would be amazing for the high street, right? Like, if you went down even like Oxford Street, which let's face it, is just full of vape shops up now.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you went down there and all these kind of amazing stores, you could go in, you could, there's maybe like look at the resale section, you could shop new if you wanted to, or there's a rental section, and just every single...
Well, that's the way it's going. It has to go.
Yeah.
Just one quote I wanted to share from Ellen MacArthur Foundation, which is a great resource for anyone interested in the circular economy, is if the number of times a garment was worn is doubled, the greenhouse gas emissions over its lifetime would be 44% lower.
Mm.
So like by sharing things through resale, swapping, rental, we are making huge impact. Selfridges have their reselfridges where they're doing the resale, rental and repair. So, you know, once those big industry leaders are doing it, we start to see it filtering down. And with the kind of demise of larger businesses like Matches, Farfetch is in trouble, Net-a-Porter's in trouble, like we're starting to
changing.
See things are changing, and this is a really amazing opportunity for independent brands to start to thrive, especially because they have such a strong community and customer loyalty, but they just need a bit more, they want something more experimental on the high street these days, and a way for people to drive into their footfall into stores.
Let's think about somebody who wants to rent something, okay, and they're concerned about renting. They, you know, what is the general things that flare up? Like, what are they usually worried about?
We don't hold any stock. You know, it's the individuals that are bringing their wardrobes. So we weren't seeing a wide enough range of sizes, which is can be really limiting. However, what we know is that the people like to rent things that are at higher price point. And with those kind of higher end designers, they don't often make a very broad selection of sizes, which is really frustrating because we want real size inclusivity across the rental industry.
Yeah. And it's not just size as well, it's gender fluidity as well. Rental doesn't just have to exist for women, it can cross all genders. There's definitely, I think, a long way to go for rental companies to make, you know, to encourage this diversity, inclusivity, and to not just talk about it, actually do it.
We had somebody on our Instagram the other day actually being like, oh my God, I love all these dresses, but what if you spill something on it?
Yeah.
And, you know, how many times do you spill things on your own clothes? Probably not that often, but if you do, you can wash it. You can dry clean it. We always recommend using eco-friendly dry cleaners.
I always try and make like the comparison to, like, you know, you go into a hotel and you sleep in sheets that somebody else has slept in. And you go to a restaurant and you eat from a fork that somebody else has used and been washed. And I'm like, it's interesting that we don't see like clothes in the same way.
The fork one's a great one.
Yeah, but it's like, obviously, there's like the emotional attachment, I guess, with fashion. But it's like, why are we more concerned?
Because it's a new behavior.
Yeah,
it's like with Airbnb when that started, everyone's like, oh my God, not having somebody come into my home and sleep in my bed. I mean, I've rented out my house multiple times at Airbnb. It's an incredible way for me to bring more income into my house and also practice what I preach, is that we should be sharing everything.
Yeah.
And you know, if one thing did happen actually where the curtain rail came down, but you can actually just invoice people on Airbnb. They left a really handwritten note saying, I'm so sorry. And it was fixed within like a day. So it's a new behavior. The new things is going to be scary, but we just have to take that first leap and try it, because, you know, change is not an option right now. It's a necessity. We're all seeing climate change. It's happening right now, and we need to do something differently. And I, you know that I don't like to push sustainability as a message, and I'm much more about sell the sizzle, not the sausage. But the truth is that this is a sustainability crisis. We are in a climate emergency, and if we don't change our behaviours, and if brands don't change what they're doing, and retailers, then we're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we started out being really kind of quite, I guess we were preachy and forceful at the very beginnings, and then we were like, people are just not responding to us in the way that we want. We can't force this down, you know, people's throats if they don't want to change. So how do we get that message? There's so much going on in the world, and we get it. Like, you know, it's horrible. Like, there's so much to contend with right now.
Don't read the news.
I know. And, you know, fashion in a way is sometimes the last thing that people can hold on to for enjoyment. But again, it kind of comes to the fact that, like, you know, everyone has to just make their own change, or, you know, try in their own way as much as possible. You know, whether that's using Vinted, which is a really affordable way, or renting, or, you know, but
it's hard for people like us, independent businesses or small. Circular economy is very new, and circular fashion is still pretty much ran by startups. We're competing with behemoths like Shein, who have marketing budgets that will make your eyes water. They are spending all of their time pommeling their marketing messages to young people, to across social media, everywhere, to try and encourage them to buy fast fashion and forget about the kind and kind of greenwash them a bit. So for us to get our message out there, So for us to get our message out there, it's really difficult. So people often don't know. Like, I still talk to people that don't know about rental. Oh, I didn't know you could do rental. Mm. Like, yeah, it can be. You can find yourselves in an echo chamber, especially us, because we're very much involved in this space. So you think everyone knows what we're talking about, but they don't. And it needs to be more accessible, and lots more education needs to happen. But we need a lot more investment into the industry. We need to support from industry leaders and bigger brands like the Selfridges programs, etc. So there's still a way to go, but it is the future. Circular commerce is the future.
Okay, so a brand is going to come to you, and they're considering embedding rental into their website. Perhaps they have a store and they want to bring rental into there. They might have concerns about it, or they might just want to learn more. What are the usual things that kind of crop up?
So one of the main ones is it's going to cannibalize their sales. They don't want people to rent instead of selling, because obviously the margins are smaller on rental. You can get more money from a straight sale. But what we say to them is that you can actually rent it out multiple times and then still resell it. I was reading an article the other day about The Vault, a rental platform in Australia, and they said that they'd rented out one item 72 times, which is madness. But that just proves that making better quality product will last longer, whether that's through rental or resale. So we start to reverse the race to the bottom and really invest in those better made items.
Yeah. And also as well, it kind of gets people, you know, in the door, trying their items, see if they like it. That kind of helps with that consideration phase, because actually, you know, they might rent it and then absolutely love it, and then they want to buy it, and then they've got a loyal customer that's going to keep coming back and trying out new styles. And also because they're part of, you know, Lonehood platform, we shout about them, we talk about them, we build that community, we give our audience to them so they can discover.
With them.
Yeah, exactly. It's that sense of discovery of finding those independent brands as well. And you know, hopefully it'll kind of inform them as well what styles are doing well, like what type of items do their customers really, really want. You know, if they're trialing it out through rental and then suddenly there's a massive uptake on that item, then they know, okay,
we'll actually buy some of that to sell in the store.
Exactly. So it's all this kind of consideration phase, and you know, not just mass producing, as you said, was one of the biggest problems. We can start to make more considerate choices from the brand side and also the customer side.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so we're female founders. I mean, it's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think you have to be a certain type of personality. Like, I am an eternal optimist.
You really
always
are.
Think
you really are.
Everything's going to work out. We're going to do really well. And I think that that is what an entrepreneur like kind of has to be almost, because it is really tough. Trying to build a community, we're trying to learn how to do marketing, the legal side of things. There's so many things to consider when you're in a startup. You know, there's highs and there's lows. And I mean, we've had some incredible highs together when we're just like, oh my God, we've won this, or we've got a deal with this person, or we've had this rental. Or...
yeah.
And then there's those lows where it's, you know, you're tired and you're traveling and things aren't going the way you expected it to. And then it turns the next week. So...
yeah, I guess it's tough getting. I do think students coming into this space and they really want to kind of make those big, bold changes. I mean, I would always say work with somebody else, because you're never going to be able to do everything or have the skill set to facilitate everything. So I think having, like, you know, me and you working together, being able to be honest with each other as well and not, you know...
and be each other's hype person, because if you're down, I can give you like a lift up. When I'm down, you can do the same. And because we know each other so well, we can be really honest with each other and almost could even be competitive with each other sometimes, which is like healthy competition. I couldn't do it without. Couldn't do without you, girl.
Oh my God.
Love you.
Everyone stop listening now. They're like, oh, that's so cheesy. No.
Surprised you're not crying.
I know, I love to cry.
Yeah, you're probably just too tired.
Yeah.
Dried up.
So do you know what? I'm just gonna kinda go on to like kind of the bigger, more kind of macro question about the industry. But I get, you know, what do you want to change from the industry? Because when we started off our journey, it was very different to what it is now. And I feel like, you know, all the rental companies come in, the resale companies come in, the shift, I can feel it in my bones. Something's happening and something's action is finally starting to move.
Yeah.
I think definitely always could be more because we're running out of time, as we know. But yeah, what do you wish would kind of speed up the change in the industry?
Well, we're already starting to see it. It's legislation from government. Mm. So we're seeing things in the US happen. We're seeing things in France where, you know, fast fashion brands are going to get penalized, where you get actually given back money if you do repairs in France. Like, the conversation is happening, and it's happening at the top level, which is what we need, because until brands are forced to actually implement change, they've still got a bottom line, you know, they still need to make money to succeed. And what they know is this linear overproduction model, and it works for them, you know, and they're just taking all their leftover stock and sending it to eBay or TK Maxx or wherever. So unless they have pressures from above, then things won't move as quickly as it needed to. And then in a more kind of like ground up approach, like customers, consumers, we are starting to see more change, and people are adopting it with Vinted and Depop. They've really kind of reached a mass audience. So it's just continuing the education. And I've said it a couple of times, but like universities that we work with, we've always been passionate about educating the next generation, because they are the change makers. They're the ones that are really going to make the big difference here. And they're passionate about it. And you and I have spoken before about this kind of value action gap.
The attitude behavior gap, where we say something but then our behaviors don't align with it.
So we know that Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they want to be sustainable, but they're still shopping at fast fashion brands. And there's education missing there for sure. There's marketing, there's social media, all these different things are playing a role in it. But en masse, we're seeing a big change. So I think that is really exciting to see what the next generation will do and how they can propel that growth much quicker.
And it's just providing those bit, like, industry needs to provide those alternatives as well, so they, you know, they steer away from, you know, these kind of fast fashion stores, and other ones are more convenient as well.
It's so hard for independent brands to thrive. So if we do have legislation that supports them so that they can do better, you know, tax credits, benefits, etc., to encourage more people to do more sustainably made items, then we'll be in a much better position.
So what would you be doing if you weren't doing Lonehood?
I think, obviously, I had the restaurant and I've always worked in fashion, and I was always unsure like what my path would be. I think it is probably in fashion. You know, that's where my kind of skills lie, although I don't feel like I'm a real fashion-y person sometimes.
What are you on about? You're a fashion icon.
Fashion icon, yeah. I think that's come with age. My
being icon. You're right. Being iconic.
being iconic. No, but understanding my style a bit better. But I think it would be in, obviously, circular sustainability, yeah. circular fashion, sustainability, doing something, whether that's with a brand to help guide them in where they're going, or in tech. Like, I actually just love startups and I love learning and the excitement of something new. So like supporting people, like give me a blank piece of paper and a problem and I'm happy, you know, like, yeah, let's get started. And that that startup energy I love. So I think either circular fashion, sustainability, or it's something in the startup tech space.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely still be obviously working, pushing the agenda for sustainable fashion. That's like inherent in yeah. us, and we can't walk away from it. Yeah. The problem is just way too big.
We've learned so much over the last yeah. like 5 years.
Yeah.
And a lot more.
Okay, so I guess let's just wrap it up with, you know, what do you want to like leave consumers or even brands with about rental, you know? What do you want to say? Like, I mean, for me, it'd be like, just bloody try it.
Yeah, but, just yeah. get on board. I think there's always something else you could be doing from a brand perspective. You know, they're very time poor, resource poor, but this could actually enhance your business. I think that it would actually increase their revenues and their marketability, etc. But yeah, customers, just try it, rent something for the first time, discover an independent brand and support them, because they're the ones that are making sustainable collections and they're going to be the future. So we need to make sure that they succeed. And we can only do that if we actually put our money where our mouths are. If you want yeah. to be more sustainable, or if you want to look amazing going out for a birthday, a wedding, a christening, party, hot date, try rental. That's where it's at.
Great. I'm just going to leave it at that. Nailed it.